Can you fire up Mr. Molinaro's microphone? There it is.
There we go.
All right.
Thank you for that. I love a little Miles.
Well, you, as I said, you're a jazz aficionado. You're a chef. I miss your food tweets. You don't send them out as much as you used to.
You know what I tried yesterday? I did this North African style poached eggs called shakshuka, and I tweeted it out. It was amazing.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. I'll send it to you later.
Well, I am following you on Twitter, too.
Okay, there you go.
I don't believe you've been blocked for any apparent reason. I may just, I was up north, so I may not have seen it. So, anyhow.
That was amazing. I'll bring you in sometime. It was, that's going in the weekly rotation.
Okay. What's in it?
It's kind of this tomato and red pepper spicy sauce.
Oh, that sounds good.
With sort of cumin and paprika and chili powder and a little bit of sugar and chilies. And then you just essentially poach the eggs in the sauce. And then you top it off. I top it off with fresh sorrel, which I grow on my balcony.
Oh, stop it.
And I do. And then I crumble in some feta and some Greek olives. It was incredible.
It sounds like an NPR segment, doesn't it? That's exactly what I was thinking.
Forgive me for trying to class the place up.
No, it's fine. It's, you know, I'm glad that we're here on Dining with John. Anyhow.
That'd be a good show.
I would do that show. I would do that show. 100% I would. We're going to talk about Toronto FC, but first, I guess, so are we all Jamaicans now? Those of us who watch the Gold Cup, do we all automatically become Jamaican fans after they beat Mexico and now they go on to face the Americans?
I think so. I think for a lot of people, especially in Canada, Mexico is just, you know, a very unlikable team. You know, their fan base are pretty obnoxious and they have those homophobic chants. And, you know, Mexico just seems to think it's better than it is, in my opinion. And I don't know. I don't think their reputation really warrants all that much. They're the constant underachiever.
We haven't had a chance to talk since the since Canada was defeated by Jamaica in the Gold Cup. You know, I've read some of the stuff you've written about, but now that we've been able to kind of to step back a little bit, I think most people would agree that it was a largely positive experience. Still a little lack of finish, I thought, in the part of Canada, but on the other hand, you know, and I talked a little bit about this and with you, I think last week about Junior Hoylett. We saw the goal that he scored. It's one of the few times that I've watched a Canadian game and I've been absolutely convinced that they were going to come back and I thought they were going to win the game.
Eventually,
I've never had that feeling.
Yeah. To have faith in a Canadian side to come back from two goals down. I can't remember the last time I felt that. I also can't remember the last time I saw an opposing team kind of like bunker against Canada because they were worried that they were going to score. So, I think it was an overall positive experience. I mean, you have to remember this was Octavio Zambrano's first sort of major tournament in charge. But overall, I think it was, there was a lot of positive signs. The fact that, you know, it's a young team and they really seem to play without sort of any fear. And he's really instilled a sense of belief and fearlessness into him, which is what I like, because I think just traditionally Canada has really sort of wilted under the pressure and you know, really shown opposing teams far too much respect. So I think it's been a major culture change so far, which is encouraging.
And one of the things that, you know, I came away from that tournament thinking is, well, they need more work defensively. Mm-hmm. They need more work in set pieces. And you know what? If I'm coming away from a tournament worrying about that with a Canadian team,
pretty encouraging.
It is encouraging because I'm not saying they need somebody who can score.
Right.
And that was kind of my takeaway from it was, yeah, I'm kind of prepared for this team to try to figure out what it has to do defensively. That I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I needed to see some fear. I needed to see guys have fun.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were having fun.
Yeah. And you need guys who could look like they could open up and score and at any moment, right? And I think you saw that with Junior Hoylett. I thought you saw that with Alfonso Davies. And I have to say, too, I think Scott Arfield has been like a really sort of key addition.
Mm-hmm.
He's the way he sort of, orchestrates and holds that midfield together. It reminds me a lot about what Michael Bradley does for, Toronto FC and the U.S. national team. So I think he's been a great addition as well.
And he had that little spin move at the top. When I saw that in replay, I thought if that goal goes in, I just think Canada wins that game.
Yeah, and you know? his set piece delivery too. I mean, he delivered a lot of dangerous balls into the box that caused problems from opposing defenders. So, as I said, wonderful addition.
All right, let's shift focus to Toronto FC. I'm reading on Sportsnet.ca TFC burning questions. As you point out, it was a missed opportunity against Colorado, 1-1 draw. But this team doesn't usually miss a lot of opportunities, does it?
Not at home, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, they came into this, I think 7 wins in a row, hadn't lost all season at BMO Field. Colorado is a bad team, especially, you know, away from home, because this was the first points that they picked up on the road all season. So, yeah, a missed opportunity, but, you know, they certainly haven't missed many opportunities this season. Although I will say, you know, the Eastern Conference is really shaping up to be a very tight race with, you know, New York City FC and Chicago. So
do you think Chicago, can Chicago maintain?
I think
what
so.
They're doing?
Yeah,
you don't think that that's like a flash in the pan with Chicago?
A little bit, but I mean, I think they've really benefited from Bastian Schweinsteiger. I think he's really sort of upped, you know, their overall ability to grind out results, and I think they've been, you know, fantastic team to watch. So I think they're going to be contenders right until the end. It's going to be, as I said, a really tight race right up until October.
What do you think Toronto FC has to do to manage? I guess is the best way to put it, manage the absence of Steven Bateshore.
Ooh, good. That's a tough one.
And I think manage is probably the right word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think you're not going to replace him.
No.
You're going to have to manage.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, I think he's such a great player in that I think he's really solid at both ends of the field. I mean, obviously, you know, going forward, getting to the byline and delivering balls into the box, he's very good in sort of lending width to the attack. But I think his defensive abilities are quite underrated. I think he's just such a solid player in his own end. What they'll have to do is, I think they're just going to have to platoon sort of that position for the time being, because they don't really have a natural sort of replacement. They've tried a couple people in there so far. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, just trying different things and see if they can find like one guy who can sort of hold down the position temporarily until possibly he comes back in September.
One of the questions you ask as well is about Armando Cooper. And as you point out, I mean, this is a guy last year it was a pretty good story. He was a pretty important part of the story that was TFC. You mentioned that Greg Vanney this year seems to be focused, he is focused more on quick ball movement. And that explains perhaps why, you know, someone like Marky Delgado is emerging as his preferred choice in midfield. Is Armando Cooper just right now almost surplus to requirements? Or
I think to have the current moment, absolutely. He's not, I don't think his sort of skill set or his style of play has really sort of developed with what sort of Vanney has introduced this season, where Vanney wants quick ball movement, kind of, you know, one or two touches and be really efficient. Armando Cooper has always been the kind of guy, kind of like a bullfighter, right? Sort of, you know, he wants to take the bull on and sort of, you know, do the little dance and then, you know, invite the danger and then beat him. And that really doesn't work in what sort of TFC is doing this season under Vanney. So I think he has to adapt his game a little bit. Otherwise, you know, he's going to find opportunities going forward few and far between. And especially after, you know, the draw against Colorado, because it was his mistake, essentially, I think 3 or 4 minutes after coming in as a substitute, that, you know, his turnover that led to, you know, Colorado breaking in transition and scoring the tying goal. So it's kind of unfortunate because, as I said, he was really a key player for them last year and, you know, so important that he displaced, you know, a player of the caliber of Will Johnson in the starting lineup. So it's just interesting to see how he's kind of fallen down the depth chart this year.
What would the plan be for Toronto FC with the Gold Cup final being on Wednesday, Jamaica against the U.S.? When would you expect to see Bradley Altidor, in particular, back in the TFC jersey?
Suspect that they'll be back in town probably Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that Toronto FC, normally they play home games on a Saturday, but they're playing on Sunday this week. So I think that actually helps them out, because it gives Josie and Michael Bradley and Justin Morrow a little bit extra time, maybe get 2 training sessions in. I suspect that Josie probably wouldn't play on the Sunday, but Michael Bradley and Justin Morrow being sort of the workhorses that they are, you know, I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see them be in the starting lineup, even though it's a kind of a short turnaround.
Because Sunday's an important match for this team.
It is. Yeah, it's New York City FC. This is a team that it's one of their direct challengers for first place in the Eastern Conference. They're probably feel a little bit snake-bitten from the 2-2 draw last week, which they probably thought they deserved the win after Chapman having that goal disallowed. So It's a big game. They're going to need most of their hands on deck.
I want to shift focus a little bit overseas, and I guess one of the stories for the past, and it, bearing in mind that it is transfer season, so there is a lot of BS out there. Mm-hmm. There's more BS. Here's a question for you: more BS is slung during transfer season or the baseball trade deadline or the NHL trade deadline?
Oh, I think it's probably during transfer season.
Yeah, it appears that the more bigger chunks get thrown against the wall.
Yeah, well, because you're
in transfer season.
Yeah, because you're talking about not just one country, right? And you're talking about multiple leagues and moves
and months
and you're talking about like multi-million dollar deals, like you know the Neymar thing. We're talking about potentially 220 million euros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's unheard of in modern day sports, right?
Right.
So,
what do you make of the Neymar situation?
I think it's just him and his people angling for a new contract. He's got a very good thing going at Barcelona. That's no disrespect to Paris Saint-Germain. I think they're a very good team. But, you know, why would you leave such a good situation in Spain when you're playing with players the caliber of, you know, Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, Gerard Pique? I think this is just him and his dad is actually his agent. They're just sort of angling here for a new contract, which is fair enough. I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, the thing about PSG is they've kind of become everybody's. It's almost like the stalking horse, isn't it? They're kind of the, well, if you don't pay me, I'm going to go to PSG. And everybody goes, God, PSG is just loony enough to take this guy on.
Right.
You know, knowing that... You know what they're going to win. They're going to win Ligue 1. I would think probably without him. With him gives them a better shot, obviously, in Champions League. And it is Paris.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't see what would be in it for a guy. You know, if you can get relatively the same amount of money, I think if I was any type of competitor, I'd rather play in La Liga.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, and that's again no disrespect to Ligue 1.
No, but I would.
But I think La Liga is far more competitive. Far more high profile. I think he has a better chance of winning, you know, Champions League with Barcelona does with PSG, because for all their sort of spending the last, you know, 5-6 years, they haven't really made a major dent in Europe. So they just seem to always fall short when they come, you know, that first or second major hurdle. So he's probably better off, for my money, staying in Spain.
This is, and I didn't realize this until I was doing some reading last night, but this is the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Premier League.
Right.
Right. And, you know, and again, just happening to do some reading on how it was founded and how it came about and the financial clout it has now. It really is a remarkable story, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if anything else has happened in any that has changed a sport so profoundly as that, the business of sport. Because it opened the door for a lot of money really quickly, didn't it?
Absolutely. This was essentially a television deal born out of, with Sky Sports. And, you know, a lot has been said about sort of the money thrown around for North American rights with the NHL and the NFL, and those are monster contracts. But they're a drop in the bucket when it comes to the Premier League. The Premier League is, you know, the number one sports league in the world in terms of television rights. Just the domestic rights alone are, you know, staggering. I mean, Sky and the various TV outlets are paying billions in rights fees, but then Asia is like another market, and Europe in general is a huge market. So, I mean, they're just making money hand over fist.
It seems like it's kind of taken, and you know, maybe this is just the age of the people who are writing this, but in a lot of ways, it seems like it's kind of taken the romance out of the game, not just in England, but in other countries. It's kind of led to in almost every league, I guess maybe with the exception of the Bundesliga for a variety of reasons, but it's kind of led to a real stratification in almost every league now.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Yeah. The other thing too is, like, I remember as a kid, you know, growing up in an Italian household, so obviously I watched Serie A, but when, you know, Juventus signed a German player from the Bundesliga, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or when Inter Milan signed, when they went over Marco van Basten, they got brought in those Dutch players. That was a big deal because you had movement between sort of countries, but not that much. Now with sort of this new TV money, you know, you look at the Premier League, majority of the players are foreign based. So that sort of, I don't know, mystery, for lack of a better word, has kind of been lost. I think it's now just been it's one big sort of global market and everybody knows, you know, all the players. And there's not much sort of, as I said, just mystery there.
Yeah, it was, as I said, I found it kind of intriguing that you know, how that kind of that spun off the Champions League. And just this idea that all of a sudden it was okay for big clubs to sort of go on their own and try to, and essentially it's like, it was almost like it was capitalism run amok in a lot of ways. It's
sure.
Like, we're big clubs. We've got the clout. We're going to use the money. We're going to keep the money, and the rest of you can kind of bugger
yeah,
off.
Yeah, kind of fend for yourself.
And fend for yourself. John, I appreciate you doing this as always.
No problem.
Thanks so much. John Molinaro is our chief soccer reporter at sportsnet.ca. Oh, that's good. We're going to do this from now. This is a thing now. You know that.
What's that?
The music. You took your headphones.
Oh, more jazz? Cool. Yeah.
Jazz. Sweet. And you're going. Have you done your Montreal sojourn yet?
To the Jazz Festival? No. That's still on the to-do list. It'll get done.
I'm sure it will. Thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.